Welcome to He Changed the World from Forest Baptist Church, a series of talks about Jesus Christ from Mark's Gospel, recorded by me, David Last. Talk number 33, Disappointment. Mark chapter 9, verse 9 through to verse 19. When was the last time you were disappointed? Last week, when the results of your health check came back. This morning, when it turned out that your favourite breakfast had run out. Or are you disappointed much more often than that? What are the sources of your biggest disappointments? Is it things or situations? Or is it people? Often, we find it is people, don't we? Relationships with others can be the causes of the deepest letdowns we experience. Mark chapter 9 shows us two personal disappointments. The first affects three of Jesus' close friends. They have just seen Jesus on a private walk with him, like never before, with incomparable power and honour. Now, they expect great things of him and wonder what it will mean for them. However, he's playing his cards close to his chest. He talks about rising from the dead, and they don't know what that means. Yet they don't want to ask him outright, so instead they ask about someone else rising from the dead to see if that opens up a conversation. Well, it does, but with an answer they don't want. He tells them bluntly, "I will suffer and die due to the hatred of others." That's what the dead bit means. Disappointment floods over the three men. How can he, whom they would follow to the ends of the earth, talk about failure like this? Of course, life includes suffering, but surely that requires us to do our best to overcome it, not to give in or let it make us bitter or angry or despairing, but to fight for hope in the midst of the pain. Why won't Jesus fight? The answer is this: because he has a better answer to suffering. He trusts God to deal with it. We find that thought so difficult. We want immediate answers to our fears. It's hard simply to trust. But Jesus was proven right. He died and rose by God's power. However, like us, the disciples at this moment in Mark 9 find that tough to believe. Hard to have that degree of trust in God. And as they meet back up with the other nine members of Jesus' team, along with a large crowd, that becomes all too obvious, much to Jesus' disappointment, which is our second personal disappointment in the story. They find a really unpleasant argument going on between the rest of Jesus' team and the experts who oppose him. What's at the heart of the argument? A lad who suffers from terrible fits which almost kill him. The father came looking for Jesus, hoping he could help. He found the disciples, asked them for help, and they failed, which triggered a big row between the disciples and the experts, along with the excitable crowd looking on, waiting to see what Jesus will do when he arrives back. It's a horrible scene. Everyone present says the lad is being affected by an invisible spirit, yet none of them is praying. Asking for God to do what they can't. There's not a thought for God, no trust in God from the disciples, the religious experts, or the crowds. Instead, while this little family are fearful of what might happen any moment to this lad, those who should be praying are instead bickering. The whole scene smells of selfishness and thoughtlessness. One of those times when the person who ought to have all our attention is completely ignored. Jesus is so disappointed. He's tried to show the crowds in general and his disciples in particular how to trust God. Yet this group of people can't believe to that level. Sure, they have ideas they believe about God because they're religious, but they don't act on what they say. They don't really know him or trust him. God's easily excluded when trouble or excitement comes along. Jesus is so disappointed because he knows he'll soon leave these people and he can't see them doing well after that. What do you think? Do you believe in God? Do you trust God with your life, no matter what? It's hard to do that, isn't it? We rightly want to feel responsible for ourselves, and to a degree we should. But, says Jesus, that includes recognizing your limitations, which means your weakness, but also your sinfulness. Those can only truly be dealt with by God. We need him. We need his forgiveness, his help, and he offers it through his Son, Jesus. But we must put our trust completely in him. Are you willing to do that? Or will you disappoint him? What do you think? To finish off, the passage from Mark is now going to be read out. Afterwards, take a moment to reflect on where your life is up to. Isn't it time for change? Time to put your faith in God? Thanks for watching. Do join us for the next video.
Mark chapter 9, verses 9 to 19. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first, and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me."